listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we answer your questions from a Bible-believing, God-trusting, Pauline perspective.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. If you have Bible questions that you would like to have answered on Grace Ambassadors Radio, please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. And we don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
With the teachings of Pentecostalism infiltrating nearly every branch of Christianity, the charismatic movement comprises the fastest growing segments of both Protestantism and Catholicism worldwide. The influence of these movements in particular has created much confusion about the Holy Ghost, who He is, and how He works today. Well, this week on Grace Ambassadors Radio, Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana, delivers the introductory lesson in a series called How the Holy Ghost Works. Let's listen as we learn more about the confusion that exists in churches about the Holy Spirit.
Some of you have asked me about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our Bible study, in everything that we do. What role does He play? And so we're going to do a series about how the Holy Ghost works. It is a very important issue, especially for those of us who are under the dispensation of grace. I mentioned this morning that there is a major difference between the way we live our lives now under grace versus the way they lived their lives under the law. And quite frankly, it was a lot easier to understand under the law because God just lists out the things that you do and you just have to do them. Under grace, you're not under the law. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. But what does that mean? And so it's a very important thing for your life, and that is one of the major reasons why this is an important issue, not the least of which is that there's major confusion in Christianity about the Holy Ghost. And so we need to get that right. Okay, Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And I ask, is that your experience? That the kingdom of God, your life as a Christian, is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost? And, you know, we may all say, yes, of course it is. But what does that really mean? Do you feel the Holy Ghost? Do you know if you have the Holy Ghost? What makes you different from someone else that doesn't have the Holy Ghost? And how do you know? What does this verse mean? Do you experience the peace and joy of the Holy Ghost? Or don't you? The consequences are great to understanding this doctrine or not. So we need to cover it. People generally don't believe in ghosts, okay? We're talking about a Holy Ghost. What's that make us? Strange? I don't know. The Bible talks about the Holy Ghost. It talks about the kingdom of God being in the Holy Ghost. People don't believe in ghosts. If you went to work tomorrow and said, "We talked about ghosts yesterday at church," they think you're nuts. Most people don't talk about the spiritual world in that regard. They're more materialistic. Jesus, they can grasp. I mean, He was a man, right? Well, He was also God. That's a little harder to grasp. But He wasn't just a man. But they can identify the person there. What about the Holy Ghost? Who is this? What is He? What does He do? The Bible talks a lot about Him. One of the confusions about the Holy Ghost is, what on earth do we call Him? Because there's different names given to Him. There's the Spirit. There's Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or is it Father, Son, and Spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Ghost? Can we just call him Ghost? I mean, what is his name? Jesus called him the Comforter. In the Bible, you also see names given to him like the Spirit of Truth or the Spirit of Grace in Hebrews chapter 10. So what do you call him? Is it the same thing? Is it the same person? Is it even a person at all? Maybe it's just an impersonal force, like a superpower God gives you. So there's Jesus and there's like his holy power ghost, you know. And this is like some jump start that you get. Believe it or not, a lot of Christians have that sort of concept of the Holy Spirit, that he's like juice for the Christian. He's like your energy. But it's not that. He is God. What makes it worse, of course, is that our songs don't help. We sang a song this morning, and our grace hymnal tries to focus on correcting the words in song so that they teach right doctrine instead of promoting error. But a lot of songs that people sing in churches really teach wrong doctrine about the Holy Spirit. Anybody heard the song that talks about, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place? What are they talking about in that verse? The Holy Spirit raining down and feeling the Holy Spirit's presence here. And is the Holy Spirit here this morning? And our church is about the Holy Spirit's presence. And can you feel the Spirit this morning? Can I get an amen? No? Let's pray the Holy Spirit come down. Ever heard that language? Let's pray he come down to our meeting. Lord, please come down and inhabit this house so that we can experience and feel your presence here. Right? This is what Christians talk about. Is it right or wrong? How do you know you have the Spirit? A lot of Christians, because of the songs they sing, because of the doctrines they're wrongly taught, question whether or not the Holy Spirit is with them. And that's a very, very sad thing. Romans 8, verse 9 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not Christ's. And that sounds very strict, but it's true according to what the Bible says. And so what about I Feel the Spirit, or the popular hymn that a lot of Catholics like to sing, is Come Holy Spirit. You heard that song, Come Holy Spirit? Why do they sing that? Don't they know 1 Corinthians 3:16? I often in my head have these little comic strips of Paul, you know, in my mind. And I think, you know, when people pray, come Holy Spirit, Paul would be there. And he would say, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And he dwells in you? Apparently they don't if they sing, come Holy Spirit. Because why would he come if he was here? He's already there. But it's because people don't feel him. They think that going to church is a place where the Holy Spirit likes to hang out because it's more holy here. The carpet's cleaner. You know, it smells better sometimes. You know, they think this is where God dwells. But that's not the proper doctrine. We already know that the building is nothing. You are the body of Christ. And the Bible teaches that the Spirit dwells in you if you trust the gospel of Christ. The confusion is widespread. When people talk about how the Holy Spirit works in the world, they often blame him for things. And I say that with my tongue in my cheek. What I mean is that they give him credit for things that they simply just don't know if he's doing it or not. You ever heard this? People talk like this? The Spirit led me to do this. The Spirit told me to do that, right? Or the Spirit is moving me to do this or that or say this or that. Or how do they know that? How do they know? You ever had that feeling? I've had that feeling, okay? I'm not always the most emotional person. And maybe that's part of the problem, is that people confuse the Spirit with their emotions. And so the emotional people, they say, the Spirit's moving me. I've got, it looks like that was just a funny joke, or it looks like that was just an emotional sermon to me. How do you know that's the Holy Spirit? These are questions I've had. But everyone blames the Holy Spirit for their feelings, their emotions, gut reactions. What does God want me to do? I'll pray about it. I'll think about it. Not very long. I'll pray about it again. Whatever I feel, this is what God is leading me to do. Whatever I feel is right. And that is the determination which a lot of people make decisions in Christianity. What they feel is right. Because God wants the best for them, right? And so why would he let me do something that is not right for me if I feel it is right to do? Well, what if your feelings really don't come into the equation at all? What if your feelings can be deceived or can be wrong? Or what if what you feel really isn't the best way to make choices? And what if there's a better way to do that? But what is the difference between your feelings and the Holy Spirit? According to modern Christianity, there's not much difference at all. The Holy Spirit is that. The Holy Spirit is your feelings, your emotions, your gut reactions, or superstitions. They'll look at circumstances and say, that was God, that was the Spirit working in the circumstances. Kind of like reading the tea leaves of ancient pagan religions, you know, and they'll be like, well, you see what that happened there? That happened because God did that. You know, and I can feel it. I can feel that he did that. He really wanted me to do that, or he really wanted that to happen to me. And so you can see where this issue of the Holy Ghost really overlaps and interacts with other things, like how does God intervene in the world and his involvement with our lives and in this sort of business, especially since the Holy Spirit is supposed to be dwelling in us now. It's what Jesus sent down to earth when he went to heaven, so that's God on earth, his Holy Spirit right now. So what's he doing? What is God doing in the world? And why does he allow bad things to happen? Or a question I've been pondering lately is, why does he allow good things to happen? You ever thought about that? No one asks that question, why do good things happen? They take that for granted. They always ask, why do bad things happen? Praise God for the good folks. But anyway, then there's the Pentecostals. I haven't even dealt with the Pentecostals yet, but the Pentecostal charismatic movement, they emphasize the Holy Spirit because they feel like that the Holy Spirit's in a corner crying that he doesn't get much attention. So they say the Holy Spirit needs more attention. And so they really make a big deal about the Holy Spirit and teach a lot about him and about his interaction in your life because, again, they see that as the power of God on earth. And so you have the tongue talking. Talking in tongues in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit. You see these a lot in Pentecostal charismatic groups, and they see this as a source of understanding, a source of closeness to God, that they're speaking in tongues in the Spirit, that they're praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit. And I don't have an outline this morning. I'm going to stand up here, and just as the Spirit leads me, I'm going to say something to you. And this is supposed to be more spiritual, right, than not reading my outline, which I'll have to do now. Is the Holy Spirit leading me or not? I've got an outline. I've prepared. People talk about the Holy Spirit teaching through me, or people in general is what I mean. The preachers talk about this. But is it right to say that the Holy Spirit teaches you, or that teachers are called of the Holy Spirit and anointed of the Holy Spirit and have an unction of the Holy Spirit to teach what they're teaching? There's right doctrine. There's wrong doctrine. Preachers study and prepare and spend hours studying God's Word, preparing outlines, learning, making mistakes, improving, correcting, and then they teach a lesson, and people go, that was anointed. And you go, it may have been right, but I spent a lot of time on that. What kind of gift is me working? That's not a gift at all. You're gifted to teach. Actually, I spent a lot of time preparing to teach, and I spent a lot of years teaching. I wasn't so good at the beginning. You know, what kind of gift is that if you're working for it? God has gifted you with such a great voice. That's why you're on The Voice, right? Well, why is it that they got kicked off the first season, you know, and then they went back to voice school, and then they sang a lot more, and then they came back the second time and then barely made it? If they were gifted, it seems like God's more powerful than that, isn't he? Why is it they practice so hard if they're gifted? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to raise the question of miscommunication or what God's doing in the church. And it all surrounds this Holy Ghost idea. What's the Spirit doing? What is he gifting you with? What is he saying? Where do you see his fruit? Where do you see his presence? How do you know? How do you walk in the Spirit? We definitely should not neglect the Holy Ghost. I totally agree with this. We should give him his due and what he's doing. And we should praise God, Holy Ghost being the third person of the Godhead.
We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll start getting answers from the Bible to some of these very important questions. You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio. Here's what people are saying about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division.
I never really realized the extent of religious bondage that I was in until I heard and believed the truth of God's Word rightly divided.
Right Division is about separating Scripture so you know what God's doing today.
Rightly dividing the Bible helps you understand what in the Bible is for your participation so that you won't be confused, as many things in Scripture seem to be apparent contradictions.
The motivation for living for Christ comes from an understanding of the truth of God's Word rightly divided, not from external pressures of a religious system.
It helped me to be able to understand my Bible, that I can understand it without somebody telling me.
The ability to clearly understand God's Word and His will has improved my life in immeasurable ways.
I would say that I have understanding of issues regarding the Bible that I never had before.
Learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Right Division at graceambassadorsradio.com.
So, how do we get him? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? What does he do? How do we know he's leading us, and what is his leading? How do we use his power? What kind of power does he give? How are we filled with his presence? Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? How do we produce his fruit? People often study and talk about the fruit of the Spirit. How do we do that? It's not a law, is it? And how do we feel his presence, if we can't feel his presence at all? How do we know he's here? We're going to be dealing with that in the next few weeks, but just at the outset, I wanted to introduce to you the confusion that exists in the church about the Holy Spirit. Hopefully you recognize this. If you have trouble with the Holy Spirit, you're not alone. This is a doctrine that is important for you to understand. Most people don't understand, and that the right division can help you understand. And it sounds like I'm just beating the same horse. And I say that every time. That's because I believe it to be true. You know, but the study of the Bible rightly divided really does open up the scripture to your understanding, especially with what God's doing. And we talk about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. It's going to help us understand. So the Spirit plays a crucial role in the life of a Christian and the way we live our lives. And we have a serious problem in Christianity because nobody knows what he's doing, who he is, how they have him. They say wrong things about him. We need to address it. I want to talk briefly here about what the Holy Ghost is. Now, we just got done talking the last month and a half about describing God. And so if you're listening to that series, you learned how the three-in-one doctrine was taught, how God is one in the Bible. There's only one God, and yet there are three called God in the Scripture. There's the Father, there's Jesus, the Son of God, and there's the Holy Ghost. And they're all three called God. And so we need to understand that first, that the Holy Ghost is not some sort of Star Wars came out recently. He's not the Force, okay? Pastors use movies like that as illustrations of the Holy Spirit, and it's wrong in that way. I don't know what the Force is. It's something they made up. But the Holy Spirit is God, a person, not an impersonal force. He's not you can't control the Holy Spirit with a switch. You can't sit back with a remote control and just tell the Holy Spirit what to do. God is not your vending machine, right? You don't put some spiritual coin in and the Holy Spirit spits something out. That's not how it works. Okay, many people think that's the case. They think the way that they speak, the way that they act, a specific incantation or words in a prayer, this will force God to do something. It'll just spit it out, right? Yeah, give us the blessings. And what are we going to do? We got to come forward. You got to give the tithe. You got to say some words. You got to say in Jesus' name. You got to say in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got to say something magical. And God does it. You got to be good. You got to confess all your sins. You got to keep the commandments, right? Well, what else do I got to do for the Holy Spirit to actually work in my life? Well, Paul teaches us how that operates, okay? But he's not a divine lever of blessing. He's not a magic wand where you pull him out and say, well, we need a healing. Things going bad in your life. Turn that frown upside down. Let's pull the lever of the Holy Spirit and boom, you're healed, right? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's exactly how he's taught, right? You need something? You feeling bad? Holy Spirit will help you. Where do you get this idea? I understand that we all have bad days. We all have bad things happen. There's evil in the world. But what is God doing? And why is it if Pentecostalism is the fastest growing movement or the largest movement in Christianity, they claim 400 to 500 million people in their circles. Of course, they include in their circles people across denominations, whether it be Roman Catholics or Mormons or whomever, will speak in tongues and will recognize spiritual gifts. They put them in the same crowd. So there's not really any sort of doctrinal unity there. But they say the 400 to 500 million people now are charismatic or Pentecostals. And if that's true, that there's so many of them, then why is it they don't agree and they can't all figure out why God doesn't help the rest of us? Why is it, I mentioned before, and some people get offended at this, why is it there are Hindus and other religions that also speak in tongues? You say, nah. Yeah. Hindus speak in tongues. Not all of them. You know, there's groups of Hindus, tongues, glossalia, as the religionists, the scholars of religion call it, is not unique to Christians. You say, really? God gave them the power of the Holy Spirit? No. I'm telling you, it can be fake. That's all I'm saying. Well, I don't want to get into that conversation. I'm not here talking about the reality or the falsity of people's stories or their anecdotes about God's working. God can heal. God has worked. The Holy Spirit has power. We need to find out what he's doing, how he works. So he's not a magic wand. He's not witchcraft. You know, a lot of anybody remember the New Age movement? And when that was a big deal, it's not so much anymore, but it used to be like that was the big deal, the New Age movement. Where did it go? Did they all just give up on their spirituality? Or could it be perhaps that they incorporated themselves into Christian organizations and ministries, and that's why we see a rise of people who don't believe specific doctrines of Christianity, but they are spiritual? I think that's what's happened in history the last 100 years or so, that New Age movement. There's always been a group of people influenced by Eastern religions who are incorporating this now into Christianity. You ever heard of prayer circles? That's from Eastern religion. You ever heard of a spirit writing? You just put your hand on the page and start writing whatever the spirit leads? That's from Eastern religions, not from Christianity. And so witchcraft, we don't use a word like that anymore in modern society, you know. But this idea of consulting spiritual things and letting spirits work through you, and everyone thinks, oh, this can only be God the Holy Ghost. Maybe not. Maybe you got to be careful of that. And the only way you can discern one spirit from another is if you know what God the Holy Spirit's doing. It's if you know how the Bible describes it. Okay, so we'll deal with that again in the weeks to come. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as God. In Acts 5 and verse 3, we see one passage here that shows us the Holy Spirit is God when Peter says to Ananias that he lied to him. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Interesting here that what filled Ananias' heart was not God, but Satan. Christians love to say, well, God has put it on my heart. How do you know? Because here Satan put something in Ananias' heart. What if Ananias said, no, Peter, don't understand. God put it in my heart. The God of this world, maybe. You see, you have to be able to discern the difference. But here Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not an impersonal force. It doesn't receive things or listen to things or it doesn't get offended or doesn't have a will. The Holy Ghost can be lied to. Okay, you can't lie to a wall. Right? You can't lie to the wind. You can lie to a person. You can lie to the Holy Ghost. But not only that, in verse 4 it says, while it remained, was it not in thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine power? It says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So you see, verse 3 says he lied to the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 says he lied unto God. The Holy Ghost is God. That's how we know that from the Scripture. The Holy Ghost is not an impersonal force. It's God. He's God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says the Lord is that Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Or the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. The Spirit is God, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. Look at John 15:26. And this is going to be a review of our lesson in January about the three in one, understanding the doctrine of the triune God that we serve. We serve one God, folks, one God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Those three persons are all equally God and distinct from each other. See, that doesn't make any sense. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. We covered that back in January. You can see the verses for that. We know in the Bible all over the place it talks about one God. We just saw the Holy Spirit was called God. Look at John 15:26. Jesus says here, when the Comforter is come, that Comforter is the Holy Ghost, right? Whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So this tells us something about the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do here that Jesus sent him to do. But notice, just talking about what he is, we see here the Holy Ghost is a person that is distinct from Jesus. Jesus says, I will send unto you this Comforter, right? He says, he, the Spirit, shall testify of me. Now you can't say he and me unless there's two different, right? They're both God, but they're distinct. One God, three distinct eternal persons. They all each have all the attributes of God, but they're separate from one another in their identity. Father, Son, and Spirit, what they've revealed themselves to us. So this is who the Holy Ghost is. He's part of the triune God. And so it should really give you a sense of joy just knowing that God dwells in you, as Paul says. Holy Spirit's in you. This is not some sort of magical force or power ability. This is God dwelling in you. And we know that from the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Holy Spirit has power. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. A lot of us, and there's fewer of us nowadays, but a lot of us non-Pentecostals, non-charismatics, are blamed for being cold, dry, unemotional, and lacking the power of the Spirit in our churches. I believe in tongues. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the healings of Jesus Christ. I believe Christ revealed a mystery to Paul and explained how he changed his operation in the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us the Holy Ghost has power. It says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Yeah, they received power. They spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2. There's no denying it. They had power to heal. The shadow of Peter healed everyone, which is just using my brain, this is how I see something different happening in Acts than what I see at Pentecostal faith healing meetings. It's because Peter's shadow healed people. But the image of Benny Hinn on a big screen can't heal anybody. And people are looking at it from the crowd, and they have to go up on stage to get touched by him. Well, Peter's shadow healed him. So there's a difference, it seems like, between the power in Acts chapter 3 and 4 and what's going on now. But again, that's not the topic this morning. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 19. The Holy Spirit has power. If God dwells in you, the Holy Spirit's in you, and the Spirit has power, this should also be comforting because that means God who lives in you is not powerless, right? Acts chapter 8, verse 19. saying, give me also this power. Now here's Simon speaking to Peter. Peter had to come to Samaria here, and he laid hands on the people who believed so that they would receive the Spirit. We'll talk more about that next week. And Simon, one of the believers there, said to Peter, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted this power, not because when Peter came, he just said, receive the Holy Ghost, and they go, that's it? Am I good? I mean, he laid hands on them, and they started speaking in tongues. They had the power of the Holy Ghost. And Simon goes, that's neat. And he wanted to have that same ability to bestow the Holy Spirit power on people. My point here is simply that the Holy Ghost has power. Right? He was sent with power. Look at Romans 15:19. You say, well, yeah, that's all before Paul. Granted, all before Paul. I'm a mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalist. Now I'm going to Paul to show you the Holy Spirit has power. Romans 15:19. With Paul, he says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. With the power of the Holy Ghost. You see that? The Holy Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, turn the page, Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul claims power. He exhibited power. Paul healed people with handkerchiefs, and you get those in the mail. Paul heals people. He has the power of the Holy Ghost, and there's power that Paul speaks about. The Holy Spirit operates on you. Well, what is that power? How is it different than Pentecost? Is it different than Pentecost? How do we know? What is the Spirit doing? If I don't exhibit tongues, is the Holy Spirit not in me? Is he not working? Did I forget something? Did I didn't pray right? These are the questions people have. So we're going to deal with how the Holy Ghost works. So the Holy Spirit does have power. We've seen it. We see it in the Scripture recorded. And we know the Spirit of God dwells in you. I've already quoted to you 1 Corinthians 3:16, where Paul says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You're the temple of God. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, if so be that you're Christ's. Because Romans 8:9 says, if you're one of his, then you have the Spirit. Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Some people read that, and they teach that you're not a true Christian unless you exhibit the powers of the Holy Spirit. Maybe not in your circles, but in some circles, they do. Maybe you're not complete in Christ. Maybe you're not part of the church. Maybe you haven't received all God has for you unless you exhibit the signs of the Holy Ghost. So how do you know? What is your comfort? What is your assurance? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? How do you know? Are you making it up? I mean, you want to fit in or what? What's happening? What is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, God's not your babysitter. The Holy Spirit's not your scapegoat. He's not your excuse. He's not your puppet master. What is he? What's going on? How do we feel him?
That's all the time we have in today's episode to hear this introductory lesson to our How the Holy Ghost Works series. Be sure to tune in next week to hear the answers to these questions and the conclusion of this lesson. In the meantime, don't forget to submit your questions and comments on our website, graceambassadorsradio.com.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, a ministry of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship in Swayze, Indiana. To learn more about our ministry or to submit your Bible questions to be answered on the air, please visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.